All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, okay, welcome to my Bioforge.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I heard you were getting one of these. I had to swing by and see.
I used to just kind of rent one from the tool library here in Portland. And for people who don't know, this is like a 3D printer for skin. Mm-hmm. It's real Cenobite shit. You can kind of mix in different amounts of DNA and create a critter.
Mm-hmm. If you want elaborate meats, this is a way to get like geodesic meats.
100%. You can get real late, like everlasting gob meats, everlasting gobs of gob. Mm-hmm. The area here.
Basically, any kind of flesh lattice. You just want to whip one of these bad boys up. Yeah. And at a certain point, it just makes sense to get your own. And you know, stop relying on the public bio library.
Yeah. I've been trying to work on a meat that has the gaminess of wild boar and the stringiness of venison combined.
Okay.
You know, just like a very unpleasant meat.
I always thought that boar was a little bit too ham-like. Yeah.
Yeah. I want it to taste like, this is a sidebar. Isn't it weird that gamey is a flavor we all recognize and it persists across animals?
Yeah. It has to do with like the oils diet, and stuff. It's like, you get it when you get like grass-fed beef, right?
Yeah, grass-fed beef is the most common gamey source, but like lamb, boar, these things will taste gamey. And you're just like, oh, that's a new flavor type, gamey. And there's not gamey chips. There's not a gamey drink. And I aim to change all that.
Had a friend in high school,
the Bioforge,
who just occasionally pulled out this joke. That is just a sentence when like a couple of times when she walked into a room that has really stuck with me. She said, "Smells gamey in here. Who did it?"
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Smells gamey in here. Like what a descriptor. Yeah, descriptor.
That makes sense though. Like, that makes intuitive sense. I know exactly what that means. We're trying to make this super meat here, and I'm going to pull the lever on the Bioforge here and see what comes out. We're going to eat it,
God, and see how that inspires us to play video games. I love a Bioforge that still has a lever. All these app, like every just to control it from the app. No, fuck you.
I got it used. It's a vintage Bioforge, but it's actually really nice. It's in like this period when things aren't expensive, like they're old. But they're not expensive yet. It's like a Yamaha keyboard from 2004.
Exactly. Yeah. You want to get that. You're right in that valley. Like, this is going to be huge.
Yeah. My favorite day-to-day carry keyboard that has a button on it that says DJ game that will make DJ noises as you press different keys, like women moaning and guys going, come on. Come on.
Oh, God, I love that thing. That was, you used to break that out on shows.
I've bought three copies of that keyboard in my life. The third copy is outside of arm's reach, or I do it right now. I keep selling it or giving it away thinking I don't want it anymore, and it keeps crawling back to me.
You always want the button.
I love that keyboard so much. It's so good. I don't want to turn this into a commercial for the specific Yamaha, but like, it's really good. Anywho, let me pull the lever here.
And then, look at it go.
Yeah, Gwen wants to add some meat making music. Here's our cube.
Okay.
Let me take a big bite.
How's this related to games?
Well, we're going to find out as we take a bite.
Okay.
All right. Take a bite. Yeah. Oh.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Does that taste like the 1995 game Bioforge to you?
It probably tastes a little bit like Bioforge because it came out of the Bioforge. Mm-hmm. I realized I did not clean these traps when I bought this.
So yeah. No, that's your retirement grease.
So some person on Facebook Marketplace has a lot to offer for or a lot to answer for.
No.
In terms of this bullshit, Bioforge though, also a game.
Was fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just thinking. My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
Welcome to Abject Suffering, Simpsons reference, TV tropes entry, childhood trauma, void screaming.
Yep, there we go. Got it in one. We can leave.
Get our ass.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Bioforge.
Yeah, we're talking about Bioforge. I was unaware of this game. This was a poll winner. It was put into the randomization machine, it's Alexander, who says, this game is bad in ways that you guys will enjoy. It's also good in ways that you guys will enjoy. You can't control your way through a cyborg hellscape. You fight with a number pad.
Those are both true.
Mm-hmm.
This is fully from the survival horror adventure zone before they were good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this is cool in ways we will enjoy that are difficult for me to get to.
It's really difficult to get to because this has one of the most unforgiving openings I've seen in a game. Like reading what you have to do is wild. You know, just not gonna get to that. You know, in like a half an hour.
No. Yeah. It's just the kind of thing where a closet waff, if like we were had more patience, like there's certain people who are going to do a waff style thing on this 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God bless them.
Yeah.
You know, like the just people who have more patience than we do. Cause this is not trash.
No.
You know, this is from Origin. This is the people who did the Ultimate people.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know.
Oh, there's just, a lazy game reviews. LGR did a video on this.
Yeah, this is for the LGRs of the world.
Of the room.
Of the room. All the LGRs, all the single LGRs, put a ring on it. This is for you.
Yes.
There's a lot here that is interesting and cool. Mm-hmm. It's just they didn't know how to make video games controllable.
They wanted this to be 3D. They wanted this to be a visual spectacle. Yep. And like they're like, all right, well, Alone in the Dark came out and they did this 3D effect that we really like. We want to market this as cinematic. We're going to try and find a way to control this and make it more combat forward when they didn't have good ideas to do it.
They should not have done that. This should have been a point and click adventure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they tapped a guy without a Wikipedia link, Jack Herman, to create this fictional universe for this, but it has a big lived in fictional universe.
Yeah.
The Mondites are about. I like to think these are Walter Mondale heads in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Van Buren boys, we got the Mondites.
The Mondonians.
Yeah, who are trying to overthrow the Reticulum.
Yeah.
You're a reticulate little government, aren't you?
He did the writing for the Ultima 7.
Ultima 7.
Did the manual packaging for Ultima 7, but then wrote the expansion Ultima 7 Part 2.
Yeah, which is also really good.
Yeah.
So like weird that we do not that often. We do games that aren't bad on here a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So weird, not that often. We do something that is so in my breadbasket.
Yeah.
That I also did not like though because it's. Horrible.
It's not made. It's not made to be liked. Like this is like this is from deep in the valley of specifically the era of like 1990 to 1995 in non Doom games on PC. There's a lot of stuff that's like this.
It's
Ecstaticas and whatnot.
There's so many degrees of unfriendliness of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like I bet you if you just took an average person in the population, I'm probably more friendly to 90s PC games than most.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's just so many levels above me. There's always going to be somebody who's more LGR than you are, who will put up with anything. And like numpad to kick, that's a killing phrase to me.
Yeah. I'm somebody who likes the combat in Alone in the Dark. I think that they like figured something out with that. Mm-hmm. It didn't need to be more complicated.
Yeah. I believe it. You know, it's just because you like the combat in Shadow Tower does not mean you'll like this.
Yeah.
It is a very different beast.
Yes.
Really interesting to read about. I didn't get very far though, because of this really hostile opening.
Yeah.
You know, you're a guy, and most of the plot of this I learned, was from the review on GameFAQs by Probation. This is one of my favorite ways to write about a game that's very childlike. You know, starts off, you know, spoilers, etc. Bioforge for PC, period. The game is on one CD that runs on DOS, period. It talks about the player character, parentheses, you, name unknown, determined later, end parentheses, being transferred into a half-human, half-robot by an evil organization that is used to have some association with the PC, parentheses, player character, end parentheses. How she is associated with the organization, however, is determined during the game.
You like, betcha it is.
That's as a powerful it talks about. Like, do you remember somebody asking you what a game was like when you were a kid? Like, it was like, oh, you're playing Maniac Mansion. And you're like, oh, yeah, this game talks about this weird family.
Yes. It's super book report, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Love it. This is what it talks about. And this is where I learned about that premise and the infamous ending. Nobody likes the ending of this game. Both reviews on GameFAQs mentioned the bad ending.
Yeah.
Nobody likes it.
No. It was setting stuff up, right? Yeah. They bet big on this being a bigger thing than it was.
Yeah. The other review on GameFAQs by Adam Mann also has the really good headings that I wish were standardized across GameFAQs reviews. Not just action, some puzzles too. Take care of yourself out there. Extremely bogus manual. Where's the finale? I feel like any game you cannot break down into those five categories isn't a real video game.
I love a good header. I love organizing something like this. But yes, these are the criteria.
Extremely bogus.
Yeah. How many hair raisers does the take care of yourself out there get?
Exactly. This is three take care of yourselves, I think. He doesn't like the manual because it's long and has a lot of fiction in it. He's like, I didn't buy a computer game to read the manual all day. You didn't buy a computer game then, motherfucker. Like, this is what you did at the time. Pools of Radiance would kill you. Like, you read the manual as you're playing the game.
It's there. It is meant to be on your lap. It's meant to be on the fucking desk in front of you. Why do you think you have a desk?
Exactly. Like, it's why you play video games on this thing. You should have like a music stand set up with this stuff while you're playing it. Like, you should be thankful for Bioforge's manual. This review was written in 2000. I would love to talk to Adam Mann now and be like, do you fucking regret this word indeed? Because I imagine you feel the same nostalgia now that I do for gigantic honking manuals.
Yeah.
They go bazooka, bazooka.
You know, sometimes just, you know, discourse is always infuriating, but sometimes there's like a low stakes, like discourse that is just fun to laugh at. One that I've been exposed to, recently, like this weekend, is people who don't consider epilogues and prologues to be part of the book.
The book talk is crazy.
Yeah.
I've seen some of that has leaked through, and it's like, it's very alien behavior.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, it's like, if it was important, they would have put it in the book. Is the quote I read.
God, your mind is so fascinating.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, we should study you in a jar.
Like what do you consider to be part? Like, because like it's between the covers, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, this wasn't in the book. What?
But like, yeah. No, huh. Just like the manual's part of the game. Those words, right? Like that's it's within the bounds. It's the product.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. I don't consider before credit scene in a movie to be the movie.
Yeah, come on.
It's only the movie once they tell me who's in it. Like, fun and insane thinking.
If a story starts in media res and the background is given in flashbacks and stuff, those flashbacks ain't shit. That doesn't matter. Already told me when the story starts.
Yeah, the story is when things are happening now. Like, the story is what happens during the story. Like, you get into all kinds of crazy, you know, semiotic loopholes with that.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I wish I got further in this to talk about it more.
Yeah.
You know, I watched a little bit of it online, but it's slow to watch, too.
Yeah, yeah. Just because your guy, like your little flesh cop, does not move especially quickly.
No,
And it's a lot of reading. Like, you're finding a lot of like data pads, and reading paragraphs and paragraphs of text, and then doing like these kind of like zoom in puzzles on stuff, trying to figure out devices. It's a lot of like pilot trying to figure out how to pilot a drone.
Yeah, and there's some pretty bleak kind of, you know, legacy of this. Like, it reviewed mixed, but it lost the PC Gamer Best Adventure Game to Beavis and Butthead and Virtual Stupidity. And I understand Beavis and Butthead and Virtual Stupidity is actually kind of good. Like, it's an ICOM game. It is not trash like the Super Nintendo Beavis and Butthead games are. But, like, that's still isn't the kind of thing you want to hear.
Right. You know? You have to imagine that was demoralizing to the people who made this.
Yeah. Tim Schafer considers a big influence on Grim Fandango. Approached to 3D graphics, and they didn't add combat to Grim Fandango, which is good.
Yeah, that was a good instinct. Good call, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this, it does show up in like books to play before you die, but not in the 100 or games to play before you die, but not 100. It shows up in 1,001 video games to play before you die, which is a lot of video games.
God, how does that feel to be 1,001 on that? Number 1,001, like you only squeaked in.
Listen, you got to get to this, but honestly, we know you won't. Like, I'm trying to think of how many video games I've played, you know, before I die.
Yeah.
And I guess that adds a whole other existential thing. But probably played that many video games. I play a lot of video games. We do a lot of them for work. You know, we did 600 of them for this show alone.
Yeah.
So of course I have. But in terms of like meaningfully played, that is way more than the average person is playing.
Yeah, yeah. You're not going to get to that. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me kind of want to read that book. Like there's a game listed for Unix.
Okay.
Yeah, only for Unix.
I want to know about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta find this book. Curious.
Yeah, I guarantee you it's out of print.
You got a preface by Peter Molyneux, though. Makes big promises on the page count that
I really
true.
I really want to hear what Peter Molyneux has to say.
There's also 1,001 albums you must hear before you die and 1,000 recordings you must hear before you die. They could not find a first one.
Recordings?
Yeah. I think it's like speeches. It's key. Okay. It is music as well. Key tracks from albums.
Mm-hmm.
What? And then, and then there's a postscript, 108 more recordings to know about. What a funny phrase.
You don't need to experience these. You can just read this bullet point. That's
2,040
fine.
Games to know about.
Yeah. Yeah. It is so this book is out of print, but it is very cheap.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just curious. I mean, this would be good toilet reading.
Uh-huh.
You know, like this will do.
Yeah. this will take up space in my house.
Oh, I here's the list of the games. I just wanted to find that. It's on ultimatepopculture.fandom.wiki.
Okay. Can you send me a link to that?
Yeah. Let's see what they consider to be the cream of the crop.
I'm just curious. I say I'm not immune to a list.
No, I'm not immune to anything. Like at this point, my antibodies are nothing.
Yeah, no.
Like if something tries to make me do something, it has succeeded. So,
okay. Oh, but they're not ranked. Is the thing? It's just
you got to do them.
You just have to do them. Maybe they're not ranked in the actual thing.
In this list.
Oh, come on! They have EverQuest and EverQuest 2 on here.
That's pretty weird.
That is really weird. You don't need two. Two's like
What is the most baffling thing on here? Because like, there's Bioshock Infinite on here, but that was the style at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Like that is actually a pretty good indication of what was.
I'll say you don't have to play Alex Kidd in Miracle World.
Okay.
Like, I know those games have affection for them, but they're not good platformers. They have weird Sega Master System charm, but they're really pretty bad.
Yeah. I don't know that you need to play Solomon's Key.
No. Yeah. Yeah. And like Astro Boy Omega Factor, that's a good game on the Game Boy Advance. It is the best version of that kind of thing.
Yes.
No. Would it make the top 1,001?
Mm-hmm.
Don't think so.
Yeah. No, there's some whack shit on here.
Funny, this got tons of criticism for having multiple entries in the same franchises, but it would be artificial feeling to not do that, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're doing 1,000 games and you only have one Mario Brothers game, that's weird.
That is incredibly weird. Yeah. But like, you also get stuff like you see XCOM Apocalypse and then XCOM Enemy Unknown. Those are very different games.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's
they're in conversation with each other, but like, yeah, no, they're with them. Yeah. It's different eras. Here's one. Yeah. You don't need to fucking play the movies. You don't need to play the movies.
No, and every year that gets more true. maybe that was because Molyneux did the intro.
Oh, they decided to throw him a bone. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to play Mario Sunshine.
Mm-mm.
Like, you know, if you didn't have Mario 64 and Mario Galaxy on here, sure.
Yeah.
You know, but you do. Mm-hmm. That's a crazy thing to say you have to do.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. Yeah. Interesting. They find mostly good you don't have to have every Zelda game.
No, no.
This is actually nuts. I was pretty on board. I was going to say, like, this most of the stuff is actually pretty good until I got to them listing every single Legend of Zelda game.
No. You don't need Four Swords Adventures, my dude.
Yeah, that's crazy. Except for Zelda 2. Uh-huh. The only one on this list that does anything different is not considered a must play.
No, not at all.
You have to play Spirit Tracks and Phantom Hourglass.
Yeah, no, they form a critical duology.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about? You probably don't have to play The Sims 1, 2, and 3.
No,
it's kind of losing me a little bit, but there are some things that make sense on here.
Yeah, like it makes sense to have SingStar on here.
Yeah, right? SingStar is interesting. Like, it's a genre. Mm-hmm. Do you have to have two Trauma Center games? I would argue probably not.
Not essential.
Yeah, probably not essential.
Well, one of them. Like, yeah, yeah. Okay, so show me what the DS is. Yeah.
Yeah. Extremely weird not to have Ultima 4, as an Ultima representative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah, weird. A little bit weird, guys.
I can see Bioforge being on here. But wait, yeah. Is Alone in the Dark? It fucking better be. If this is on here and Alone in the Dark, okay, Alone in the Dark is on here. Okay, we're good. Woo! I don't have to get mad at this game that is incredibly like of 2015.
They do have every Resident Evil, including Zero, on here, which is a real problem. Like we have to do that. On WAF. There's no way we can't not complete the mainline series.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's going to suck so fucking bad.
Yeah, no. It's, I don't want to use an October slot on that.
I don't care when the slot is.
Yeah.
I just want to do it far away from things that are also going to be a chore.
Yes.
Like, I'm not we can do horror games whenever we want. Mm-hmm. October is fake.
October can't hurt you.
Yeah, October is not real. It is a construct. I cannot do that like next to like something else really tedious.
No, no.
That will kill me because that's a rough fucking game.
Yeah.
Gene Dark on here.
What's that?
They have a Gene Dark on here, which is a game I'm a little champion for, but it's a weird thing to be on here.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy Tactics A2, Grimoire of the Rift.
No.
Come on, man.
Come on. Yeah, no, okay. This is like, you picked the number first. You didn't find 1,001 essential games.
No.
You really just didn't. Kinda, no.
This is 1,001 games you could think of.
Yeah. Sorry, this is what this episode is about now. They do have Drop 7 on here, which is a good poll. Drop 7's good.
Yeah. Weird to have to include Resident Evil 0, but not Baldur's Gate 1. Like Baldur's Gate 2, yeah, of course, it's a better game. But that's strange.
Yeah, I need to close this. I need to close this window.
It's too irritating. Yeah. Like this is, and that's what all lists do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the idea is to be really irritating.
Yeah.
And it's succeeding at that. Mm-hmm. So joke's on me, I suppose. I've been irritated.
Joke's on me. I found exactly what I knew I was gonna find. So
only Contra 3 and Contra 4.
Are you fucking kidding me?
They might have Probotector because it's PAL region. This has a whole stink of PAL region with all of the... Let me see if they got Probotector.
Yeah, they got Plock on there.
Plock?
I know. I closed the tab. I've Smart. Seen enough.
There's no Probotector. This person does not want you to play Contra 1.
Yeah. Completely inessential. Fuck, you can die without it.
Yeah. You can die without it, but you will... If you die without having played... The Minish Cap, you will regret.
Yeah,
like no, you're defending your life scenario. You will lose.
You will only have lived half a life at most if you have not played Contra 4.
when people on their deathbeds talk about what they regret, a surprising number of things on it are about the ZX Spectrum.
Yes,
like I didn't play enough ZX Speckies. You know.
Then wish I would have spent more time at work.
Yep.
I wish I would have spent
less time with my kids.
Me and my Spacky Wacky.
Yeah. Spending less time with our kids is a great deathbed, very funny deathbed regret.
I mean,
I wish I'd spent less time with my kids.
Like, yeah, they're your kids, but have you ever considered that maybe they would grow up and suck? Have you ever considered a kid would suck?
It 1,000% happens.
Uh-huh.
People don't like to talk about it, but it happens. Sometimes you get a shitty kid. Like Rushmore, incredibly influential to me, the idea of considering a shitty kid.
Yeah.
his goon sons, one of my favorite things in movies. Like, oh, that can just happen?
Yeah.
Like, of course you can have kids they have nothing in common with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I did it to my parents. Come on.
Yeah. You get a sport kid, or you get the opposite of a sport kid. If you're a sport dad, or you put in some sport sperm, you don't get a sport sperm out of a sport egg.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No. Yeah.
Mm. You don't want that.
Not at all.
No. God damn it.
Both sighing at the same time.
Ugh. No good.
No good.
No good. I had a digression that I forgot about.
Oh, okay.
That I was going to do.
Must have been good.
I went and ate, in the randomization for this, I was talking about gamey meat.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of ours, my friend Jamie, who I don't think you've met yet, but you will. Okay. She lives in town. She's great. You'll like Jamie a lot. We loaned her some money a couple of times. She was having a rough time.
Yeah.
And she, you know, paid us back. And then she also took us out to a nice dinner. Thank you. Very sweet of her. Didn't have to do that. And we went to a fine dining restaurant in Portland that I like a lot, called Street Disco.
Okay.
And they, everything was really good, except they had boar ribs that were, for like a fine dining thing, the gamiest thing I've ever eaten.
Ooh.
Everything was good. It was, you know, a delightful night of conversation and delicious food.
Yeah.
And then, just these like ribs that you would eat and would make you feel like you've not eaten food.
You know, like you really gotta, gotta call your shot with a fragrant meat.
Yeah. And I've had boar before and had it not taste like this.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't just wilding out being like, I guess I'll try a boar. Like I'd gone into it.
It wasn't like, okay, I'm going to take a risk.
I wasn't
on this.
Trying to experiment.
Yeah.
You know, I just did accidentally experiment. And whenever we were sharing everything, so I wasn't on the hook for eating,
a whole Flintstones rack of ribs.
Yeah, like an entire, well, they were really small too. It made me think that they got this from like a malnourished boar.
Oh, okay.
Or a baby boar.
Baby boar. Yeah.
Baby boar ribs. Something like that. It was, they were small ribs, which it honestly was good because it didn't taste that good as a thing.
Yeah. This menu, I'm positive that this is good, but like this is where I'm coming from, which is like, oh man, I need to Google like five things that are listed under the description, like the description, because I have no idea what this is.
It's fun to sometimes I'll go to a place and I will be like, I'm gonna Google what the thing is. Yeah. Sometimes if it has the right vibe, I will ask. You know, that's embarrassing. And then sometimes I'm like, let's play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you get fucked over. For me, I get fucked over with things that taste like the sea.
Yeah.
Which is a flavor I don't like when I play the game.
Yeah. No, it's like, I've got no idea what Colatura, Calabrian.
The Calabrians are like peppers that are in like lots of really good. The menu, if you're looking at the one they had, this is just me buzz marketing for a thing. There are carrots.
Mm-hmm.
And the best carrots I've ever had in my life. And that is a low bar, you know, but they well surpassed it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've never had carrots prepared this deliciously in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I would fucking slaughter for those carrots. I would love to just have, like, a tap that just squeezes out one of those carrots an hour, whether I want to or not.
Yeah, they really pile up. Yeah. They're not warm either.
No, I had to warm it up. Like, I said, it shits them directly into the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, and I would be fine with it because those carrots are so fucking good.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredo carrots.
God, man. I just, like, my mom knows how to make some food and has gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, boy, finding out that the vegetables can be good.
One of the biggest changes you'll ever make in your life is eating food your mom didn't cook.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes through really interesting stages. Like, you go through, or at least for me, like, food my mom cooked, which I like the way my mom cooked.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't anything fancy, but I thought she knew how to make good foods.
Mm-hmm.
To living out by myself, not really knowing how to cook, and kind of like sandwiches and being impressed with myself when I grill an onion.
Yeah.
You know, to a takeout phase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where the height of food was super salt packed, you know, either fast food or like casual fast food.
If this has not known the kiss of a styrofoam container, I don't want it to cross my lips.
Like, this needs to be a gyro and fries that have mixed up in the container a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the first time you eat like really good food, and then you go through a phase where you're like, hold up now. You know, like that was excellent, but that's not worth $200. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Like, and then you get through the phase where it's like, no, you can find deals every once in a while. And for very rare occasions like this one, it's actually kind of slaps.
Yeah.
To just go eat stuff that is really, really good, really way too expensive by any metric, but it's kind of the experience and it's literally an occasion.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. Like, treat yourself to a really good steak from time to time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, is where I've landed. Like, I can like all, I like the entire rainbow of foods now.
Yeah. That's a fun place to be.
Yeah, it feels really good. Yeah. Portland has a thing called Dining Month, where a bunch of fine dining restaurants do...
no food is served. Yeah, no food is served out there. It's a fucking nightmare. I have to drive 45 minutes.
Yeah, it was named after John Dining, who was actually the person who invented not food. it's a thing where fine dining restaurants do a prefix meal for relatively cheap, like $35 or $55. There's usually two options for a three-course meal. That's really nice when that comes around. That's every March. Worth hitting up some spaces.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's expensive. $35 for a meal is not nothing. But it's stuff that would ordinarily cost you like $100.
Yeah.
You get to have like a little taste of like really fancy shit.
Yeah. There's a, like, there's a name for that, like in sushi that I, like, has been, I think about it. Like, oh man, omakase. There we go.
Where the chef chooses.
Yeah. And like, I that sounds like a nightmare to me. Like, I don't want to be at the behest of anybody else, but just the idea of like, you know, just calling something omakase, which is like, I'm going to show up and do what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going right? to go play basketball omakase style, but like with my shoes. Yeah. I would never do that for sushi. You know, because like they're just like, gonna either serve you something that was once intelligent or is still alive. There, but like this, you can look at the menu before you go. It's not a surprise. Yeah, you can choose your shots.
Yeah, no, you like the still alive thing fucks me up a lot.
I can't handle it. Like most oysters die in your stomach. What are you doing? That's weird. No. You know, that's weird. It's weird.
This thing it watches me as I take a little square out of it. No.
Yeah. No. And then, you know, we talked about this before, but you can't eat an octopus.
Nope.
Like, I understand people keep saying they're delicious and like, I want to believe you. They're so smart and alien and people think each tentacle has an individual intelligence now.
Yeah.
Like you can't eat an octopus.
No. And that is such a fun argument, right? Which is that I don't know. There's all I short-circuited on the hypocrisy of it, but like taking it from the angle where my exception is there is no amount that it could be delicious that would justify me eating it. Like, hey, that's not the right argument. It's very funny that you would do it, but you could also say the same thing about fucking pig.
Yeah, pigs are pretty smart. I think octopus feels different to me because they're processed less. Like, if you eat an octopus, it looks like an octopus.
Yes.
As a thing. Yeah. I also feel like you can make the argument that octopi are smarter than pigs.
Yes.
Or we at least know less about their smart ceiling. You know, there. But that is true.
Yeah. So, like, ignore the hypocrisy of it for the joke, which is that I say, like, I don't know, man, I have moral compunctions about this, but it's really good.
it's fucking common as hell. The buddy who I had who was like, I don't want to hear any anti-gun or any gun control arguments from somebody who doesn't know how fun it is to shoot a gun. And I was like, that's not a good argument for it. Like,
no,
if there's an argument for lack of, or for like against gun control, it's not that it's a blast. There's lots of ways to have a blast. You know,
plenty of ways to have a blast with a gun that don't involve them being fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no shortage of ways to have a blast. It is not an emergency if a single way to have a blast that's dangerous
is off the menu.
If that's the only way you can have a blast, you don't need to have the entire world menu. You need 1,001 ways to have a blast before you die, not infinity ways to have a blast before you die.
Right. Yeah. Hook me up with this person because, shooting guns is really fun. I like doing it.
They live in New York.
It is fun. What's that?
They live in New York.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, okay. Tell them it'll be a little bit.
Get a plane ticket. I love the argument that you have to do this is fun is the exact same argument Fat Tony makes where he's like, would it be wrong to steal a little of a bread for your family if they're starving? What if my family didn't want bread though? They liked cigarettes. That's exactly the same argument.
Yeah.
Like, and if an argument is good enough to trick Bart Simpson, you should make it not good enough to trick you.
Yeah. Set your bar a little bit higher. Yeah.
Yeah. What can people do if they like the show?
If people like the show, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. There they can throw us a few bucks a month, get a whole bunch of bonus content. We just recorded it on an episode of Unfilmable about Uncut Gems. It does count. It is a good movie. Listen to us talk about it in the context of horror.
Yeah. And it's also just a fun movie to talk about. We think that show's really good. Comes out twice a month now. Mm-hmm. You can sponsor an episode of it now. Yeah. If you, you know, and the tier that used to give you bonus After Suffering episodes and will give you a bunch of back ones you maybe have not heard also mm-hmm. gives you 2 episodes of the month in the entire backlog. Mm-hmm. It's great. We're on episode 90. There's so much to listen to.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just at our $7 level. Mm-hmm. You know, so we really appreciate it. We think it's a good value. You should also leave ratings, reviews, and share episodes of this show with your friends. Mm-hmm. If you're a premium member, tell your friends about this thing. Be like, hey, you know, you like these folk. You'll really like this show. It is going to cost you less than a cup of coffee a week, but you will like it.
Yeah.
So also join us and thank you, our producer, Gwen.
Big thanks to Gwen. Thank you, Gwen. Yeah.
Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah. Until next time, this has been Abject Suffering. It's a zine if you really think about it, but not too hard.